We'll show appreciation for the junior camp band. You can tell those kids had a great time this week. Okay. A couple weeks ago, my family and I went on a vacation. We spent a week on the shores of Wolf Lake in Ontario, Canada. And it's about an eight-hour drive from here to get there. And we spent our time in this little rustic cottage right on the lake. And when you like read travel brochures, the word rustic is like a kind word. The more appropriate word would be like primitive. But primitive doesn't sell, so we'll say rustic. So my wife's parents were there and her sister and family, and so we just had a great week of hanging out with family, hanging out with our kids. We did a lot of fishing, caught a lot of fish, just had a great week. But all good vacations have to come to an end, right? So the last day rolled around, and we were supposed to leave on a Saturday morning. And so we decided the night before that we were going to get up at 6 in the morning, we were going to try to leave by 7. And I was feeling really good about that plan because I thought, 8 hours of driving, that'll get us home right around 3 o'clock. Because I knew that, when you get home, you got the van to unload, the laundry to start, stuff to put away, all that stuff. So we get up at 6. Of course, you don't ever leave when you say you're going to leave. So now it's 7:30 till we hit the road. But I'm still feeling really good about this because I'm thinking 3:30 or 4 o'clock, it's just about the right amount of time. We pulled into our driveway at 7:30 p.m., we got caught in traffic at the border. We got caught in construction. And so, needless to say, the Hottenstein family was tired and irritable. Okay, that will set the stage. So, trying to be the wise dad that I want to be, I said to my kids when we pulled in the driveway, okay, here's the thing. We've just been in this van for 12 hours. I want you to take 5 minutes. Run around the yard if you need to. Go use the bathroom. Whatever you need to do. But in 5 minutes, we're all meeting back at this van. We're going to unload this thing together. We had fun together this week. We're going to do the work together this week. So, 5 minutes pass. We meet back at the van. And we start unloading stuff out of the van. And one of my children carried like one thing into the house. And then came to the door. And stood in the doorway and said, "Can I watch TV now?" Now, being the task-oriented dad that I am, I didn't think, I just kind of reacted, and I was like, "No, you may not watch TV now. We got a van to unload," and I was very, like, short and harsh with my tone. Well, my wife, being the relationally oriented person that she is, did not like that I just threw a verbal hand grenade into the middle of our family, and she came over to me, and she said some unkind words to me. Well, now, I'm, like, really torqued. And so I immediately think of a response that I want to say to her. But being the task-oriented person I am, I thought, there's still the van alone. So I go out, and now I'm like chucking stuff out of the van. And as I'm getting more and more stuff out of the van, I'm wordsmithing this response. By the way, my wife did give me permission to share this story. How many of you have ever said something that you regret? Show of hands. A lot of us, okay. The rest of you are liars. First track I said that, there's a guy over here, he groaned. Before the hands were even there, he's like, "Ah." I want you to open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Verse 15. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 15. The writer of the Proverbs, King Solomon, says this: "Gold there is, and rubies in abundance. But lips that speak knowledge are a rare jewel." Gold there is, and rubies in abundance, but lips that speak knowledge are a rare jewel. You don't need to turn there, but Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, "The tongue, that little muscle that resides in our mouth, has the power of life and death. And we know that, don't we? All of us have been shaped by the words of others, both positively and negatively. The tongue has the power of life and death. And I believe that this morning most of us would say that we want to use our tongue, our mouth, our words to have the power of life. Most of us would say that we desire our lips to be a rare jewel. Yet most of us have raised our hand and said we have said things that we regret. So how are we supposed to get to that place where our lips are a rare jewel and our tongue has the power of life? Well, that's going to be the question we're going to try to answer this morning. But I got to be honest with you. I come into this message this morning feeling two things very, very acutely. The first thing I'm feeling is sheer terror, because I recognize that when you talk about your words, some of you have been hurt by the things I've said. Some of you, sometimes I've said insensitive things to people. Sometimes maybe you've been hurt by the fact that I didn't say something when I should have. And so I recognize that this morning. And I recognize that as I come into this topic this morning, I have so much area to grow on. In fact, when we were planning out this series, I chose this topic because I knew that this is an area that I need to continue to work on. The second thing I'm feeling is excitement. Because just by the show of hands, all of us, I think, can relate to what Proverbs has to say about how we use our mouth, how we use our words, how we use our lips. And so I really believe that God wants to speak to each one of us this morning. Now, there could be an exception or two. I do remember when I was in high school, there's this kid that went all 4 years through school with me, and I didn't know him very well. I don't think anybody really did, because I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that in those 4 years, I heard him say less than 100 words. It's not that the guy couldn't talk. He just didn't. Some days, I wish I could be like him, you know? And so maybe he never said anything he regretted. I don't know. Maybe he did, but he didn't speak. But this message really is, I think, has something for all of us. Monday night, I was at our elder team meeting, and one of the elders said to me, "So you're preaching on Sunday?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "What are you preaching?" I'm like, "I'm preaching on the power of words, you know, and how our words can get us in trouble." And he goes, and I said, "I'm sure you don't have that problem." And he said, "Oh, no. I discovered the only time my mouth gets me in trouble is when I open it." And I think that's how most of us feel. Okay, so if you've been with us, you know that we are in the midst of a series called Making Life Work, a study in the book of Proverbs. And Pastor Jeff kicked it off 3 weeks ago and looked at how wisdom is priceless. Then on week two, we looked at what Proverbs had to say about the issue of sex. Week three, last week, was the issue of humility. And next week, Pastor Todd will be here and he will wrap up this series and put a real nice bow tie on it and be looking at the issue of righteousness. So what we want to do this morning is look at what Proverbs has to say about this issue of our words. And Proverbs uses the words tongue, lips, and mouth kind of interchangeably. So I may do that this morning as well as we talk about this. And what I did is I started by going to Proverbs and looking at all the verses that touched on the issue of our speaking, our words. And there is so much in the book of Proverbs on this that we're just not going to be able to get to all of it. So what I've done is, first, I'm going to have you turn in your Bibles to certain verses, and then I'm going to put some of the verses up on PowerPoint just to kind of save us time. And second, I'd invite you to take out your notes in your bulletin, and you will find in those notes that there are additional scriptures that we will not get to look at all this morning. I would encourage you to take those with you this week, maybe take some time in your own time to look up some of those additional verses. So how do we take our mouth that we say things with that we regret and turn it into a mouth that has the power of life and is a rare jewel? That's the question we want to answer. And to do that, I think we need to take two steps. The first step is we need to identify the pitfalls. We need to identify the pitfalls. I'm going to call them the Proverbs pitfalls. And as I looked at all the different verses that address this issue of our words, I discovered that there was five pitfalls that Proverbs identifies and addresses over and over and over. So the first pitfall is this. I'm going to call it a reckless tongue. A reckless tongue. In Proverbs, turn to chapter 12, verse 18. Chapter 12, verse 18. Says this: reckless words pierce like a sword, But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Reckless words pierce like a sword. Look up on the screens with me. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2 says this: the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. Don't you like that imagery? Gushes folly. Also on your screens, Proverbs chapter 17, verses 27 to 28. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint. You ever meet someone who just likes to hear themselves talk? Now, some of you think that's the way we pastors are. I wish we'd speed up a little bit. How many of you ever engaged shifted your mouth into gear without ever engaging your mind? Now, I've done that, right? Right? It's that recklessness. It's like we say something, and then afterwards we go, you know, I should have thought about that first. I think all of us can relate to that. I found this quote, maybe you've heard it, and as I looked it up online this week, I found it attributed to two different people. So I don't know who said this originally, just so you know, it's not me. It actually goes right along with that verse 28 in Proverbs chapter 17. Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt. Better remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt. So the first pitfall is a reckless tongue. It's that idea of shifting your mouth into gear before engaging your mind. The second pitfall is a lying tongue. A lying tongue. Turn to chapter 6 of Proverbs. Chapter 6, starting in verse 16. Chapter 6, verse 16. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Now, as you read these seven things that the Lord finds detestable, notice that two different times he mentions the idea of lying. The action of lying or being deceitful. Look up the screens. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 19. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. And Proverbs chapter 24, verse 28. Do not testify against your neighbor without cause, or use your lips to deceive. So the second pitfall is a lying tongue. Now, as I thought about this in preparation for this morning, I thought, you know, this is a crowd that's pretty moral people. Most of you, you know, pay your taxes and don't cheat on your taxes and all that stuff. And so I was like, do we really need to talk about lying? And then I thought about it more, and I thought, you know, how easy it is, though, for us to use our words to deceive. Right? Wives, when your husband asks you what's wrong and you say nothing, we know better. Or how about this one, husbands? Your wife says to you, she's out shopping, she comes home, she puts on a new blouse, she says, do you like it? What do you say? I remember when Julie and I were engaged and we were planning our wedding, she picked out the invitations for our wedding, and she was so excited about them. And she came and showed them to me, and was like, you know, do you like them? I'm like, no. You know, that led to some interesting discussion. But I said, hey, it's your day, it's your wedding. If you like them, we'll go with them. But if you're asking my honest opinion, I'm going to tell you honestly, I wouldn't pick them. But then again, you know, I'd have, you know, pictures of Big Buck hanging all over the walls in my living room if I lived by myself. So, you know, but a lying tongue. Mark Twain said this: a man is never more truthful than when he acknowledges himself a liar. A man is never more truthful than when he acknowledges himself a liar. He also says, a man who carries a cat by the tail learns something he can learn in no other way. But that's a subject for another time. Okay. A lying tongue. The third pitfall is found in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. Turn there, if you would, with me. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. The third pitfall is a harsh tongue. A harsh tongue. Or a violent tongue. A tongue that stirs things up. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. In the opening story I gave, had I applied this, maybe we wouldn't have had the situation that we did. A gentle answer turns away wrath. And I think as we think about this idea of a harsh tongue, we need not to think only about the words we say, but also the tone in which we say them. I know that's where that gets me in trouble. Like, I can say the right words, but use the wrong tone, and it can come out harsh. I remember the first time I really discovered this verse, and then the Lord gave me a perfect opportunity to use it. Years and years ago, I was serving in the junior high ministry underneath Pastor Jeff. And as many of you know, during the school year at least, our junior hires on a Wednesday night, they don't meet here at the church, they meet at our youth center, which is in downtown Marietta. We just love those words, downtown Marietta. It's a street. But anyway, gets you the idea. So right there in Market Street is the youth center. And in those days, and it's not there anymore, but in those days, the building across the street from the youth center was a restaurant. And so it was the spring of the year or the summer, I can't remember. I know it was warm. And we had this problem with the teenagers after the night was over. They'd be hanging out on the sidewalk being really loud. And the restaurant owner didn't really take too kindly to our ministry, especially on Wednesday nights. And so this one particular night, it was a warm night, and Pastor Jeff was away, and he left me in charge. And so I went out front after, like, the night was winding down, and there were some teenagers hanging out front. And what I missed, apparently, was some teenagers walked back the alley past a restaurant, and apparently they were pretty loud. What I did discover, though, as I got out there, was the restaurant owner coming out the door of the restaurant. And as soon as he stepped out the door, I could see, like, smoke coming out his ears, you know. And he started across the street, and he was talking to us, you know, as he came. And he wasn't, like, taking his time. He was in a hurry. And I was like, here we go. And he was looking for the guy in charge, which happened to me be me that night. These kind of things always happen when someone else, you know, the big man's away. So he comes across, and he's upset that these teenagers were making so much noise. And the Lord helped me recall this verse, because I knew if I said anything in defense of our ministry or the teenagers or anything, it would have been gotten really ugly. But a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The fourth pitfall is found in chapter 16, the next chapter over, verse 28. And this is a gossiping tongue. A gossiping tongue. This is a little different than a loose tongue. A loose tongue just kind of engages the mouth without engaging the brain. A gossiping tongue shares things that shouldn't be shared. Chapter 16, verse 28. "A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends." A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. Dictionary.com defines gossip this way: "Idle talk or rumor, especially about the personal or private affairs of others." Idle talk or rumor, especially about the personal or private affairs of others. Up on the screen, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19 says this: "A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much." A gossip betrays a confidence. Also on your screens, 26:20. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Now, remember when we were little, we used to say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words would never hurt me," right? But it's not really true. All of us in here, my hunch is, have been hurt by the words of others. Someone who maybe said something about us that either wasn't true, or they shared something that we'd share with them in confidence. And so we know what gossip, the damage that gossip does. The problem is, on the other side of that, we can so quickly, easily engage in it without even really thinking about it. Someone comes to us and says, hey, have you heard about so-and-so? And we can say, no, I didn't. And we enable them to be a gossip. Or it's easy for us to be a gossip ourselves. I know there's been times in my life where I've shared things and I thought, I didn't have permission to share that about that person. And so the fourth pitfall is a gossiping tongue. The fifth pitfall is found in chapter 24, verse 17. Fifth pitfall is a boasting tongue. A boasting tongue. Chapter 24, verse 17. Do not gloat or boast when your enemy falls. When he stumbles, do not let your heart rejoice. Up on the screens, Proverbs chapter 25, verse 14. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of the gifts he does not give. Like clouds and winds without rain. This Wednesday, I was in the office when those storms came through. And it was really hot, and the cold front came through and brought those storms. And I love watching storms, so I was slightly distracted. So I was watching out my window. And after a while, I was like, I can't believe it. So I actually walked out on the stoop out there, right outside the main door. And because, it was like so dark, it was like so windy, and it was lightning, but there was no rain initially, and it eventually did rain. But Proverbs says, just like that, like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts and gifts he does not give. Also up on your screens, Proverbs 27, verses 1 and 2. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Let another praise you, not your own mouth, someone else, and not your own lips. Do not boast about tomorrow. Let another person praise you. So the fifth pitfall is a boasting tongue. Do you ever know like a 10 or 12-year-old boy who thinks they got the world by the tail? You ever hang out with them? I mean, not like you just met them and they're like really shy, but like you know them really well and like they talk really big. Like I remember when I was like about that age. One night we were over at my aunt and uncle's house, and they lived in a farm, and we were hanging out with our cousins. And one of my cousins, well, before I tell you a story, I first got to tell you, right by their farmhouse, they had a couple apple trees. And that summer, in one of those apple trees, some hornets made a nest. And so my cousin, who was about 10, 11, 12, he's acting all high and mighty, and so he starts like marching toward the hornet's nest, chanting, "Who's afraid of the hornet's nest? Who's afraid of the hornet's nest?" And then he got about 10 feet from the hornet's nest. A hornet stung him, and he turned and ran back to the house screaming like a girl. So that kind of like boasting when you're 10, 11, 12, you know, it's kind of cute, right? Did you ever meet an adult like that? Right? That's not so cute anymore. And yet, let's again look at our own lives and say, is it not really, really easy for us in conversation to share that which makes us look really, really good and forget to talk about that which might make us look bad? And so one of the pitfalls that King Solomon identifies in Proverbs is a boasting tongue. So, five pitfalls: a reckless tongue, a lying tongue, a gossiping tongue, a harsh tongue, and a boasting tongue. So, if you're like me, you can look at those five and you can say, yeah, I struggle with one of them. Yeah, I struggle with a couple of them, maybe one more than another. So how do you then turn your mouth into being something that has the power to give death versus a mouth that has something that has the power to give life? Well, that leads us to step two. The second step is, first we identify the pitfalls. The second step is to address the source. I want you to turn in Proverbs to chapter 16, verse 23. I want to take you through a little bit of a journey through Scripture here, because Proverbs hints at the source. The Psalms hint at it also. And then we're going to go over to the New Testament. We're going to look at Jesus' words, and Jesus makes it absolutely clear. Okay? So Proverbs chapter 16, verse 23. A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Look up on the screens at Psalms 19, verse 14. Psalms 19 is an awesome psalm, one of my favorites. It ends this way. King David says this: "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." May the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight. That in and of itself is an accomplishment. But the psalmist takes it to a deeper level and says, not only the words of my mouth, but the meditations of my heart. See, so if we identify one of these pitfalls, we need to address the source. And the source is our heart. The tongue is connected to the heart. Now, I know from an anatomy perspective, that's not true. Someone's going to come up after some of these nurse-type people and come up and say, no, that's not true. Spiritually, it's true. Look at, flip over to Luke. In the New Testament, goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. So flip to Luke, the third book in the New Testament, chapter 6. Jesus builds on this theme, and he just makes it absolutely clear. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Jesus says, "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks." The issue then is not our tongue so much as it's our heart. If you identify one of those pitfalls and you say, I need to work on that, the issue is not that we bite our tongue or try harder or work more. The issue is we look at our hearts and we ask Christ to change our heart. We ask Christ to change our heart. Because Jesus says, whatever's in your heart is eventually going to come out your mouth. Whatever's in your heart is eventually going to come out your mouth. And so how do we do that? Well, we walk with God in such a way that we can partner with Him to change our hearts. We spend time in prayer. We study His Bible. We hang out with other believers that are going to encourage us along the way. And over time, our hearts change so that what comes out our mouth becomes different. We address it at a heart level. When we mess up, maybe we lie, or maybe we gossip, or maybe we boast. We mess up, we repent of that. We ask Christ to forgive us. We ask the Holy Spirit to fill us and guide us so we don't do that again. We ask Christ to change our hearts. So two steps. We identify the pitfalls and we address the source. So let me take you back to the opening story. So here we are. We're trying to get the van unloaded. We're all tired and irritable. My wife says some unkind things to me. And I think up the perfect response. Boy, is she going to take it. And I don't say it. And there's two types of people when it comes to these kind of things. There are those who are like expressors, and then there's stuffers, right? And I think sometimes the expressors are the ones that get the bad rap because somehow we think that on a human level that the stuffers are better. And that may be true. I could argue that a little bit. But if we take it back to what Jesus says, Jesus said, we had the same problem. Because if I had evil thoughts in my heart toward my wife and I didn't say it, it's just as bad as saying it. We both have the same problem. So we talked about it later, by the way. We're okay. Nobody has to pay for us to get counseling or anything. But we had the same issue. Same issue was our hearts were not where they should have been. And sooner or later, when that's true, what's in our heart is going to come out of our mouth. And so Jesus would say to us today, if you identify one of the pitfalls, address the issue at a heart level. Let's pray. Jesus, you know that I struggle in this area. And you know that we all struggle in some way in this area. And I pray that you would come and you would speak to me. You would change my heart. I pray that you would be speaking to every individual in this room and you'd be at work changing our hearts. But I believe it's the desire of most everyone in this room that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart would be pleasing to you. And yet, Lord, we fall short so many times in so many ways. We need you to come and be at work in our hearts. And I pray this in your name, in the name of Jesus, for the glory of Jesus. Amen.